'Cause I'm all alone. There's no one here beside me. My problems have all gone. There's no one to deride me. But you gotta have friends.
Stop singing!
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Cape 75. Hard to believe, already at 75. If you are listening to this in sequence or just streaming it through your subscription, which you absolutely should have via iTunes or the RSS feed or whatever, and all those links are at chrisabalo.com. You're probably wondering, wow, Chris, what crazy and hilarious guest do you have on this week? The answer is nobody. No one. It's just me. But that's because it's been 10 weeks since I did an episode by myself when I did Cape 65 from Skid Row Studios, and people dug it. People enjoyed the fact that I was kind of talking directly to the audience, let's say, without any guests or without kind of doing a monologue for 15, 20 minutes. And then saying, and switching gears and then having a guest come in. People liked it. So I thought, well, once in a while I will do one. And since it's been 20% of a year since I last did it, I figured, all right, this is going to be the time to do it. So here I am, just me talking to you about a few things. And there are a bunch of things as always. First of all, want to tell you that this show is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks, with over 180,000 titles to choose from across all genres. Come on, you know this. They have everything you could be looking for. I'm currently listening to A Carlin Home Companion, written by and read by Kelly Carlin, the sole offspring of George Carlin, the great George Carlin, and it's fascinating to listen to so far. I'm only a few chapters in, but I'm going to be listening to it. I'm going to be completing it this week for sure. And it's fascinating because, well, you know what? I'm going to tease that. Let me first tell you that if you are interested in this title or any of the titles Audible has to offer, you can get one free by going to audibletrial.com/cape to download a free audiobook and start a free 30-day trial to see what they have going. Look, it's the holiday season. I'm sure Audible is going to have some pretty sweet sales because they certainly have every other year. So if you're interested in getting into audiobooks or starting an account with Audible, now's the time because they're going to have a lot of cool stuff. And there's always more. Hey, comedians and classic authors, classic books, there's always something new available on Audible. And people are coming up with books. It's such a frequency now since there's so much independent publishing going on. And same thing when it comes to producing audiobooks independently. There's a ton to choose from. So once again, audibletrial.com/cape. Also, I do want to encourage everybody, if you're not already using it, please go to chrisabalo.com, click support the show, clear your browser's cookies, and then click through our Amazon banner and bookmark it. So when you do your holiday shopping through Amazon, which let's face it, we're all going to do it. And when you do that holiday shopping, Amazon gives this show a small commission without you paying a penny more. So buy the stuff you were going to buy in the first place. But when you use our Amazon link, we're going to get a little kickback. We're going to get a little taste again without you paying a cent more for anything. So please use the Amazon banner at chrisabalo.com. And also, if you go there, if you're not currently a subscriber of Amazon Prime, I can't recommend it highly enough. I've had Amazon Prime since 2012. And the two-day shipping is tremendous. In Los Angeles, which I know a lot of you are, you can actually get same-day shipping under certain conditions. Obviously, you need to have a minimum purchase of, I believe it's $35, and it needs to be for in-stock items, orders placed by like noon. You can actually get it the same day for free if you have Amazon Prime. So you can have it delivered to you, I think it's by 8 p.m., something more details at Amazon. But if you're not already using Amazon Prime, you can click through the Amazon Prime banner at chrisabal.com/support or under the Support the Show tab, and you could sign up for a free 30-day Amazon Prime trial. Look, again, it's the holidays. You're going to be doing some shopping, and in the next 30 days, what's coming up? Both Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You want your purchases as soon as possible. You want to have them way in advance of the holiday, no matter what holiday you're celebrating. Hey, Amazon Prime is the way to go. Plus, you get Amazon Prime Video, tons of movies and TV shows to stream for free. The majority of the HBO shows are on there. They're only on Amazon Prime. And there's also Amazon Prime Music, which is ad-free music for entire albums. The new Iron Maiden album was able to, you could stream it for free on Amazon Prime. The new David Gilmour album, streamed for free in its entirety, Amazon Prime, ad-free. Every week there seems to be a new release that you can stream on Amazon Prime, a big release, no less, for free. You can get the Amazon Music app, you can get the Amazon Video app, and you can get all this stuff included with Amazon Prime. But start out first with a free 30-day trial. Go to chrisabala.com, click Support the Show, click through the Try Amazon Prime banner, and boom, get yourself started. And you can use the Amazon link as well. We do appreciate it. Speaking of clicking on things, if you are not an iTunes subscriber, or if you are an iTunes subscriber, first of all the episodes of CAPE are available from 1 to 75, up to and including this one. All the episodes are available. And there is a new distinction which I've put into place for the episodes if you don't have them all and want to check them out. The default setting for the show has been explicit for the longest time, but not every episode is explicit. When I did a bunch of solo episodes just by myself in the first run of CAPE, which was between CAPE 1 and CAPE 30, I did just over half of them by myself. I kept them clean because there was no reason to curse. And same thing, this one's likely going to be clean. Not necessarily completely curse or, free of adult content necessarily. And there have been a few guests, both during the Skid Row Studios era during this past year, and even in episodes during the first wave of CAPE up to CAPE 30, where they weren't explicit. So the episodes where there's frequent cursing are marked as explicit. The episodes that are not marked as explicit aren't necessarily clean, because you can actually mark your episodes as being clean. They're not marked as clean, they're just not marked at all. So those, just take them as being PG. There may be some light cursing, anything you'd find in a, let's say, primetime television, which I realize can get kind of wide. Network television, let's go with that. Similar to what you get on a show that's on at 8 p.m. on a broadcast network. Let's go with that. Any of that kind of content. But if there's frequent cursing, and certainly if anyone's using a lot of really aggressive curse words, which are shocking to people, even in 2015, but if anyone's really cursing, those are marked as explicit. So there's a cool little distinction that you have now that the iTunes feed is under my jurisdiction. That's right. Had a little run-in today with my toilet. No, this isn't going to get disgusting. Relax. It was making a noise where it sounded like there was water running, but it was really quiet. And I thought, well, is the tank not filling up? But the tank was fine. I thought it might have been the flapper that wasn't landing at the bottom of the tank as it should when you flush. The flapper is a little rubber piece that then drops down after you flush, so your tank can fill back up, your bowl fills up, and everything. It's all one big fascinating system that we have in the 21st century. But I thought, well, maybe that's not sealing up. I looked at it. It's kind of old. I'm in an apartment, so obviously the toilet was here when I got here and all its subsequent components. So I thought, all right, let me get a replacement, and it'll just be as easy as that. Then this running water noise, especially while California's in a drought, which we've emphasized repeatedly, I thought, fine, I'll get this flapper. It'll cost a couple of bucks. Problem solved. So I go to the hardware store to get a flapper, and even for something as simple as a rubber piece with a chain attached to it, you would think, like I did, I'm just going to spend a couple of bucks, get one, and all will be well. But even going into an aisle, especially for someone like me who knows nothing about repair, who knows nothing about what in the past were typically manly things, I don't know anything about what goes on mechanically with a car, except when you apply the gas pedal, the brake pedal, and even those I don't always use right, according to some of my passengers. But I don't know much about cars. I don't know much about anything mechanical. I know some technology stuff, but who doesn't when it comes to computers and smartphones or iPods, whatever. I know that stuff. That's comfortable for me. But when it comes to anything that would have required some technical skills, not so much. Certainly nothing about plumbing. So when I walk in and find the flappers, I think, ah, this is going to be no problem. I could get one, be on my merry way. Sure enough, there's a whole big, like, 4 foot, 5 foot section full of these things. And I thought, oh, wow, I really don't know what the difference is. So I'm reading these packages because there's original, there's adjustable, there's premium, there's diamond encrusted, all sorts of them. There actually was one, which was a shark fin flapper. For those of you who may not know, and maybe you're driving, you don't have a chance to Google it, a shark fin flapper is exactly what it sounds like. It's that little rubber piece that goes in your toilet tank that has a shark fin on it, which I thought, oh man, that's kind of cool. And I considered spending the extra $250 to get the shark fin flapper. Wow, that's a... I'm glad I got through that cleanly. Watch it not happen again next time I say it. And I won't even edit it out. But I thought, let me do this because it looks cool. The thing is, though, if the flapper is working correctly and the toilet in general is working correctly, I should never have to open the tank and look at this thing. So it seemed a little pointless in the end to spend $250 on something I shouldn't be seeing if the toilet's working as it should. I ended up going with the Plus version, which is only 60 cents more than the original version. I don't know that there's any difference other than the rubber is red and not black. So I have that going for me. I have a piece of red rubber in my toilet tank. It's a pretty big weekend this past weekend, I gotta say. I was, like everybody, excited to see Spectre because it's a new James Bond film. And everyone, every right-thinking person should enjoy James Bond. And the Peanuts movie. Let's talk about Spectre first because I saw that first. I went Thursday night, of course, because they had Thursday night shows. And I was a little worried because there are a few things leading up to the release that make you wonder. There's Daniel Craig saying, I'd rather slash my wrists or whatever, it's something like that, than play James Bond again. But that, in the way things go now, where everybody just grabs a quote or something, and we're just giving these things out of context, I figured, well, there has to be more to it. He couldn't have just said, like, I'm done, because he still is, from what I understand, he's under contract for one more James Bond movie. So it's not like he's saying, that's it, I'm done. And sure enough, it wasn't, because it's so physically demanding and it's time consuming and there's a lot of travel involved because every Bond movie takes place on basically every continent in the, in, you know, 140 minutes. They've visited every single continent on Earth. So it's an intense job. And I get that. You know, that's a big deal. And it certainly is quite a personal investment because he needs to be in shape. And, you know, he's in his mid or late 40s. I think he's 47, 48 years old. So it is a big deal to be that physical. I understand, but everybody ran with just like, he doesn't want to play James Bond anymore. He's done. The new movie's going to suck. Or people in general just having such high expectations because Skyfall was awesome. So it's a really, really tough act to follow. And I think people were a little hesitant because they thought, oh, it can't be better than Skyfall. Meanwhile, as far as I'm concerned, I love Casino Royale. I love Skyfall. Two totally different types of movies, because Skyfall had a ton more action in it. Definitely more so than Casino Royale did. Different types of movies, but still both awesome because of what they did, even though it revolves around the same character. And it's a continuing story. And sure enough, Spectre does continue the story that started, that's been, let's say, the through line from the last three movies, the Daniel Craig era. Which has been a lot of fun because there's a lot of stuff where you're just like, oh, I remember this from that movie, or I remember this character, or when they mention something that happened. There is some continuity, so it's not just a standalone movie, but you're not going to be completely lost if you go see Spectre. But some of the reviews were less than favorable about it. But like everybody, of course, I was going to go see it. And I thought it was awesome. I had a lot of fun with it. The action's great. The car chase is great. All the action with the plane. I mean, a lot of the stuff's in the trailer, so you probably have seen it by now. But I thought that looked really awesome. The dialogue was it had the same humor, the same comedic sensibility that the last couple of movies have had, where everything's done with a little bit of a wink and a smile, not in the kind of cheesy, you know, I must be dreaming, pushing a law, you know, the kind of cheesy 60s Sean Connery version where it was bordering on campy. They even did that a bit with Roger Moore, and it got pretty campy towards the end of the Pierce Brosnan era. Like, everything was just so incredibly over the top. But the humor is more appropriate, and the things he says are hilarious at the appropriate moments. It's not just he won't like stop in the middle of a fight and look at the camera and say a joke and then get back into it where it's going to take you out of the movie. That doesn't happen. So if you're worried about the comedy being a little too much, don't, because it was played so well. And hey, Christoph Waltz is the bad guy. Everybody loves Christoph Waltz because of Inglourious Basterds. Of course, he was amazing, won an Oscar. Django Unchained, even more amazing, once again, won an Oscar. And he had a cameo in Muppets Most Wanted, so if he's on the side of the Muppets, he's goes in the good side of my ledger, to use a nice modern term. But I love Spectre. I thought it was great. I'd hate to have to put the Bond movies in a certain order, particularly the Daniel Craig ones. And he is my favorite James Bond. Get a lot of crap from people. How can you say that? I think that he blends the best of what Sean Connery did and Roger Moore did. The suave, yet funny, yet very capable action hero and intimidating action hero. I think he takes the best of what they did and is able to combine it. And it takes place in a modern context that isn't too exaggerated. It's I'd hesitate to use the term real world, because everybody tries to make stuff that's grounded, like, you know, the new DC Cinematic Universe is supposed to be more grounded in reality. Meanwhile, Superman's an alien who's virtually indestructible, who flies, who came from outer space. I don't call that real world. But you can actually imagine the stuff that's happening in these Daniel Craig James Bond movies actually happening, because it's not insane. Like, I don't remember which Pierce Brosnan movie it was, but it was like he was almost like surfing on top of a tsunami while the parachute was still attached. Like, that's just a bunch of really stupid things that happen in a lot of the Bond movies in the past. Or like the dude in Die Another Day, who had like the diamonds embedded in his skin and he looked like an albino. Like, that was just weird. I saw Die Another Day in theaters, and I still couldn't tell you what it was about. I've seen it once or twice since, and I have no idea what the hell was going on in that movie. Halle Berry was in it. She was hot. And still is, by the way. But everybody knows that. Spectre is great. I say go see it. If you like James Bond, and you should, then go see Spectre, because it's a really, really good time. It's a fun action movie. It's another great entry into the Bond franchise. And hey, for 3 out of 4 of the Daniel Craig Bond movies being great, he's already at a pretty steady average when it comes to the James Bonds who've been around for a long period of time. George Lazenby or Lazenby aside, because he only did one movie, and that was a really good movie. But between the long-standing ones, if we're going to go with Pierce Brosnan, who he's now done 4 movies as well, same as Pierce, and we're going to go with Roger Moore and Sean Connery, 3 out of 4 is still a pretty good streak. So I'm a fan. I really enjoyed it, and I think people are being disproportionately harsh with Spectre because Skyfall was amazing. So that's just my opinion. Now, the Peanuts movie, which I saw less than 24 hours after Spectre, because I have range. It's something I've been looking forward to for such a long time, and it's been in development for like over 4 years. And it's been one of those properties where it's like, we got to bring Peanuts back, where it's been, you know, around Hollywood, let's say. And I'm saying this as an outsider, not as anybody who's within the industry. Not properly, anyway. A lot of people have been saying we need to bring Peanuts back, and there needs to be a new movie, and it's got to be big. So they decided to make this movie and really develop it and really keep it in the tradition of Peanuts. And I think they scored. Oh, man, I think they did an amazing job with this movie. I was expecting a lot, and it was even more awesome than I was hoping it would be. In fact, it's the best Peanuts movie that there has ever been. And that's a really strong statement coming from just somebody like me who, like most of you, has been into Peanuts for his whole life. But I think it stands head and shoulders, as far as a movie goes, and as far as how entertaining it is, and how much heart it has, and following the tradition of everything we know as Peanuts, from the comics, to the cartoons, to the primetime specials. You know what to expect, and you can go into this movie with the point of reference for, of course, you've seen the Peanuts, and you know Charlie Brown, you know Snoopy, you know Lucy, you know Linus, everybody else. You know all those things. They don't spend a lot of time reminding you who everybody is. It's not like an origin story kind of thing. But you definitely will appreciate more of it going in as an adult. But it's something kids can get in on the ground floor with this movie. I'm sure they've all seen The Great Pumpkin. And I'm sure they've seen the Peanuts Holiday Special. I'm sure they've seen them all. But when it comes to the movies, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, and Boy Named Charlie Brown, and Snoopy Come Home, the late 70s, early 80s movies. In fact, my favorite of that bunch is Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown, and Don't Come Back, which just came on DVD. If you haven't seen that, snag it. It's $10, tops. It just came on DVD for the first time. Hard to believe something's just coming on DVD for the first time in 2015. But man, am I happy it's finally out, because that was one that I watched on TV as a kid on our first or second blank VHS tape that we ever had. We recorded it off TV, which was slightly edited, and obviously it's on a tape from a VCR that was from 1987, so the copy's probably a little worse for wear, and I've been waiting for it to come on DVD for ages. I think it came on Laserdisc like once upon a time, but it's one that I've loved since I was a kid, and that's a great movie. For the animated movies, like the traditional 2D animated movies, that's my favorite one. And I think it's the best one just as far as an actual story. I think it's the most entertaining and the most fun until this movie, which is so in keeping with what we know of Peanuts, what we know of Charlie Brown, what we know of Snoopy, and all the other characters. Man, I was trying to... Unfortunately, there weren't a lot of people who were laughing in the theater when I saw it. Not laughing audibly. We ended up... it was virtually sold out, the show I tried to go to at 9:15. Ended up going to a show at 10. So it wasn't as crowded, because it's a G-rated movie on a Friday night, and most people were, frankly, probably seeing Spectre. And as the box office certainly said, more people saw Spectre. No surprise. But the Peanuts movie is going to have legs. I think this movie is going to be in the top five for several weeks, even after Hunger Games opens, and maybe up until Star Wars. I think this is going to have a good, like, 6 weeks in the top five. That's just my theory. Because not a lot of G movies, and not a lot of movies where you could take a property and mess it, something from people's youth, and mess it up. You just saw that with Gem and the Holograms. Granted, that wasn't my thing as a kid. Of course, I remember it. But little boys my age, I don't know that we watched a lot of Gem and the Holograms. I think a lot of our female counterparts might be a little more into that show then and now. But the most egregious example you can probably think of, and the biggest fear, I think, for anybody who's looking forward to the Peanuts movie, was that it was going to be something like Alvin and the Chipmunks, which is the worst. So, so awful. I only saw the first one, which I thought, it's an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie. Of course I'm going to give it a chance. Ended up renting it in, 2007, 2008? And the fourth one's coming out. And I wrote actually a pretty funny bit about that. If you go to chrisabala.com and check out the blog, I wrote a bit about that being released, the new Chipmunks movie being released on the same day as Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. So it's just a quick little blurb, but still pretty funny. Anyway, I think everybody's worst fear was that they were going to turn it into a bunch of, you know, fart jokes, and have a bunch of modern references, and that it wasn't going to resemble the Peanuts, and it was going to have a lot of modern music. Thankfully, it didn't have the Who song. It didn't have Bob O'Reilly in it, which was the only thing that really struck me as odd about the trailers. I thought, what is Bob O'Reilly in Teenage Wasteland, or even the Who? Like, what does that have to do with the trailer? I guess it's just a familiar melody everybody knows. Because once upon a time, there was I've Seen All Good People by Yes was in a ton of trailers, and you've heard kind of the same, even the last few years, the same songs in a bunch of trailers, modern songs. And you think like it, and movies end up looking the same because of it. But aside from the trailers, just when you got, you know, Alvin the Chipmunk singing a bunch of modern songs, I thought, Jesus, is Snoopy going to start dancing around to, Ryan Lewis and Macklemore or something? Like, is he going to... I don't know if that's the kind of stuff I was afraid of, like, for them to bring it into a modern context where it's supposed to appeal to, like, lowest common denominator kids, where adults get nothing from. Because I don't think there are any adults who get anything from the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies that have come out the last couple of years. I don't. I could be wrong, unless they appreciate it for just being dumb humor or in a pretty harmless 88 minutes for their kids to be entertained. But I don't know. I was kind of those concerns were quelled about the Peanuts movie even a year ago when the teaser came out. When the trailers have dropped in bits and pieces during this past year, I wasn't really worried about it because it looked and felt like Peanuts. It's who Charlie Brown should be. It's what Snoopy should be like, and Lucy and Linus and everybody else. Even though the trailers and the story is, of course, very, very Charlie Brown focused with support from Snoopy, which was one of the coolest things because, as always, Snoopy is there by Charlie Brown's side, helping him along, being the consummate wingman. That's the best thing I could say about Snoopy. In this movie, he's perfect. He's always there helping Charlie Brown, and hilarious. Oh, yeah. I started a few minutes ago talking about how the theater was not as busy. I wasn't laughing out loud as much as I would have. I was kind of tempering myself because other people, I'm sure it's not that they weren't entertained, although one doofus up the aisle from me actually fell asleep because his wife was picking on him at the end of the movie. She's like, "You fell asleep. You suck." It was funny. And they had their kid with them, which 10 o'clock on a Friday night. I mean, yeah, it's not a school night or anything, but you know, a kid that's like 6 or 7 probably should be in bed, but whatever. The kid seemed to enjoy it. She was laughing at all the jokes and the visual gags, but I was trying to temper my laughter because I want to be the one obnoxious guy. I didn't want to do that, even though I easily could have, because, man, there's so much funny stuff in this movie. Snoopy just, he always cracks me up with the goofy things he does. And he's kind of like that dog everybody wants who's, hey, like I said before, like a wingman. Like the guy who's always there for you, who's always backing you up, who will go to ridiculous lengths and do whatever it takes to support you. That's been one of my favorite things about Snoopy. And Snoopy, I always think, is just endlessly entertaining anyway. But the movie has a ton of heart, and the story is great, and it's done well. So I hope they just keep making them. If it's every 2 or 3 years or whatever, I hope they can keep some kind of momentum going. And I like that there's something good out there that's not, it's not snarky. It's just, it's pure. I'm not going to say all the things it's not. It's just pure. It's a story about an underdog who just keeps falling down, and it seems like nobody's helping him up, but he just keeps trying. He keeps going, and he persists and persists, and it pays off. I'm not giving anything away, of course. We live in such a spoiler-sensitive culture right now, but I'm not giving anything away, but Charlie Brown's persistence pays off, which is also another good lesson, by the way. It's something, if kids see that, and they're like, wow, all this bad stuff keeps happening, and he gets upset about it, but he keeps trying anyway. I think that's actually really cool, and it's something that kids should definitely see. I don't know if I took that lesson away from it as a kid. I don't think so. Maybe I did. I don't know. This movie, though, I think really drives that home. So I'm thrilled, thrilled, thrilled by the Peanuts movie. And I'm going to tell you what else I'm thrilled by. Dollar Shave Club. One of the best things you can do is not have to go shopping for razors because it's a pain. Around here, they're locked up in the little, either in a cabinet where you need to go get usually a bumbling sales associate to open the thing up and give you the razors. Or sometimes they have to walk the razors with you to the register. You can't just take the razors because they think everyone's going to make a beeline for the exit. And I get it. Razors are expensive. So maybe people are going to steal them. But you don't have to do that. You know why? Dollar Shave Club doesn't overcharge for razors. You can be like me. Get the executive razor, which has a bunch of blades on it and does the job, and I've been using it for over 2 years, and I get 4 of those blades for $9 a month delivered to my door. One Wipe Charlie's, which you can use in the restroom. Let's just say that. I don't want to be dirty. I already talked enough about my toilet earlier, but the One Wipe Charlie's get the job done for anybody. The razors, by the way, gender neutral. So women, you can sign up. You can use them. And they're blades to shave whatever you want. I'm not going to venture to guess. Let's say legs. Let's go with that. Even though winter's coming and nobody's going to be aware of whether or not You haven't because you'd probably be wearing pants. But nonetheless, check out Dollar Shave Club by going to dollarshaveclub.com/cape and try them out. One less thing you have to do. All the running around you're going to be doing the next few weeks with the holidays coming up. Thanksgiving's on the way. There's probably going to be some travel. There's going to be a lot of things to be done. Then Hanukkah and Christmas and then New Year's. It's one less thing on the list. Sign up. dollarshaveclub.com/cape. Get high-quality razors delivered to your door. No hassle from you. Zero hassle. Automatically every month, get razors. And now we're going to talk about music. A new CD came out from Def Leppard. Shockingly, a self-titled CD. And their first CD of original music since 2008. Which I couldn't really believe, but they put out a couple live albums recently, which they've held back on in the past. But they're still welcome, because that band rocks live. I've seen them, geez, is it 7 or 8 times live? I don't remember at this point. It's at least 7, as many as 8. Sadly missed them when they came around here in September, but they'll be back next year because they're touring to support the new album. So yay. Anyway, their new album came out. 14 tracks that, well, it's definitely, you know what to expect. And there have been some some might consider missteps or stylistic expansions or whatever friendly thing you want to say. I'm a big fan of Slang, their 1996 album, which everybody considered a departure. It was a little bit more stripped down Def Leppard, but still had the big vocals, you know, the harmonized vocals, because all the guys in the band sing. And that's one of the cool things about the new album, by the way. They split up the verses. They all sing on the verses on the new album, the song called We Belong, which some people consider a little sappy because it's kind of, it's not a full-on ballad, but it's a slower song. I really dig it, though. It's cool hearing all the guys sing because these guys can all really, really sing. It's amazing. And they can do it live, which is more important, at least in my opinion, because plenty of bands sing the backing tracks. Plenty of singers can't do it anymore, but these guys can all sing. It's amazing. X, which they did in 2002, which was a bit too boy bandish. I think there were still, I mean, and I think it was a 13 track album. I think there was a good 10 songs in there that if the production didn't sound as modern, I realize that might sound a little silly to use in reference to an album from 13 years ago, but it sounded like a lot of pop bands. It sounded like, production wise, almost sounded like a boy band, which isn't really their thing. You know, they're, you could say pop rock, you could say pop metal even. That's more their thing. But that, production-wise, it didn't sound as good as they could. This is pretty shameless as far as the way it sounds. And I can't recommend it highly enough because you know all, you know the Def Leppard song. You know Pour Some Sugar on Me, and you know Rock of Ages, and you know Photograph, and all the other huge songs that have been around for, Jesus, decades at this point. Wow. But this new album is just like that. The opening track, Let's Go, which is at least a cousin, not-so-distant cousin to Pour Some Sugar on Me, which is fine. It's not like they completely blatantly ripped off the song, but stylistically it sounds very, it's a similar sounding song as far as the rhythm goes, the tempo. But Pour Some Sugar on Me is their song anyway, so they're free to rip it off if they want to. That's the opening track, and it's awesome. And then it's followed by Dangerous, which is another classic Def Leppard style song. And that Def Leppard sound is so prevalent and excites me so much. And just knowing, oh, there's a new Def Leppard album coming out was a big deal. And of course, I went out and bought it the day it came out at a store, bought the CD like you're supposed to do, like I always did every time a new Def Leppard CD came out. I love it. I'm not going to go through track by track because that seems a little pointless, but it has 14 tracks. And it's an overall, it's a great album. And I was very pleased by that. And I look forward to hearing these songs live because, man, there's a lot of them. There's some seriously kick-ass songs on here. And I'm sure they just, they're going to kill it live when they play these new songs. I'm crazy excited for it. Now, an album that came out a while ago, I believe February, that I just got and spent time listening to and have kept coming back to over the last few weeks is the new album by Whitesnake, The Purple Album. Really quickly, assuming you don't know, David Coverdale, singer for Whitesnake, and everybody knows some Whitesnake songs too. Everybody knows Here I Go Again. It's one of those that people fumble their way through after they've had 3 Mai Tais at karaoke, and then just walk up to the mic and it's just like, I don't know where I'm going. It kind of almost like starts out as one of those sad sax songs, but then as it builds toward that first chorus, then they kick in. It's like, here I go again. Everybody gets super excited and hyped up about it. But David Coverdale from Whitesnake started out at the tender age of 21 singing in Deep Purple. No, he's not the guy who sung Highway Star or Smoke on the Water or Hush or a bunch of other Deep Purple songs you might know. He still sang on three great Deep Purple albums. And unfortunately, the current incarnation of Deep Purple, which has been going at it for the last, I think, 15 years or so, with, not original singer, but the guy who did sing on the Smoke on the Water and Highway Star and all those tunes. He's Ian Gillan. He's the guy who's been singing the band for ages, and they don't do any of the stuff David Coverdale did. So what he did was give his, I guess, some of his favorite songs from those three Deep Purple albums he did, the Whitesnake treatment. And they're incredibly faithful to the original songs, but they sound current. They sound like a hard rock band without, you know, the production and whatnot from the early 70s. They sound like a, see, you use the term modern rock, and I don't even know what everyone's reference would be. Foo Fighters or something? I don't know. I can't think of a lot of bands that are in the modern pop lexicon right now who I can say, like, modern rock. But it sounds like a hard rock record made in 2015. Yes, this show opened up with the Whitesnake version of the Deep Purple classic, Burn. So check that out. Actually, I'm going to put that, because they have a video for it. That's going to be in the Cape 75 post, along with Let's Go, the first single from Def Leppard from their new album. So if you go to chrisabala.com, click on Cape 75, then you can check out those videos for those songs, because both songs kick ass. And this whole Whitesnake album kicks ass. It actually made me go back and listen to Deep Purple stuff, particularly the Coverdale era stuff, which I don't really, I'm not as familiar with. But it made me revisit Deep Purple. Well, actually, all together, just listening to, I believe it's The Very Best of Deep Purple. It's a compilation that's out, which is like $5. Again, you can buy it through Amazon. If you click through at chrisabala.com, and you can get Whitesnake the Purple album through Amazon and Def Leppard and everything else. Once again, click through Amazon.com, support the show. This Deep Purple album / Whitesnake album kicks ass. I keep coming back to these songs, and it's very, there's a lot of blues rock elements to it, but there's also really the ballads that aren't super sappy love ballads like Sail Away. Oh, man. I keep coming back to it. I was really blown away. As much as I was like, it's a Whitesnake album. Of course I'm going to buy it. I heard the cover of Burn, and I watched the video. I was like, man, that's cool. And it's one of those that obviously I put off for 8 months or so since it came out and finally got it, and I can't stop listening to it. It's definitely going to be in my best of 2015, which is currently being pieced together, by the way. Along with a bunch of other things. That's all I have to really say about the Whitesnake album. It made me look back at Deep Purple, and I keep listening to this version of the album because it sounds, it's still Whitesnake, and it sounds not like an album produced in the 70s. Sounds like an album produced in 2015. So I really, really dig it. I totally recommend it. And you can stream it on all the streaming services, of course. And once again, Cape 75 post. You can see the video for Burn, and check out the other songs that they have on your preferred music service of choice, as well as Def Leppard's self-titled album. But anyway, speaking of things in the works, a lot of stuff on the way. Aside from Chris's Best of 2015, which is going to be available in early January at chrisabala.com, which is my blog, all my favorite music, movies, TV shows, all that good stuff that I've experienced in 2015. All the best. It's going to be there coming in January. Cape's Best of 2015, the compilation show, is going to be coming around Christmas. I'm thinking it's probably going to be the week of Christmas. I will figure that out, but that's being assembled right now. If you have any recommendations, you can absolutely make suggestions, because we're open to hearing it. I didn't say at the top of the show, wow, not doing the show live has made me fall out of the plugging mode. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at Cape Pod. And like the show on Facebook, look for Chris Abala's Podcast Experiment. And of course, all links are at the home at chrisabala.com. So Cape, Best of 2015 compilation episode coming at you probably the week of Christmas. The World's Best of 2015, the blog is going to be coming at you in the beginning of January, early next year. If you didn't catch last year, My Guide to Essential Holiday Viewing, that's now featured in the slider at chrisabalo.com. So just like most websites have, where you have the little slider that goes across and shows you highlights that are available on that site or recent posts or whatever, you can check out My Essential Guide to Holiday Viewing, all the best stuff, movies, TV specials, everything that I like best, and I give you very fine explanations why you should watch them, if I say so myself. And a bunch of other content coming from various other Cape-associated people. I realize I'm sounding very, very vague. Vague. That's a whole... Maybe I do sound vague, because I don't know what that if that word even exists. So if I sound that way, oh well. I realize I sound a little vague, but there's some other stuff being planned. So if you've been into the show and you enjoy some of the regulars who've been on the show, we are in talks to do some extra stuff to work on some other content and put a little more out there for you guys and for everybody else. And of course, please recommend the show to a friend and please make sure you're subscribing on the various means, be it iTunes or through an RSS feed. I keep tripping over that one. If you go to chrisabalo.com, there's also a link to connect your Android device through your choice of various apps. So you get the episodes as soon as they're available, which again is going to be every Monday in perpetuity. So you have that to look forward to. All right, a final bit of, let's say, wisdom before I wrap this up. I was having a conversation with a friend last night. She applied for a job and interviewed for a job that's in the field she wants to work in. It's a creative field, but has a job that's not especially creative, doesn't pay particularly well, and she's getting tired of it. She's not really digging it anymore. She doesn't like the way management's handling things, and it's the job has lost its luster, let's put it that way. And with the pay not being great and with the commute being a pain in the ass, she's been looking around for other stuff. So she got an interview for a new job, and she's in the running for this job, and she's asking me, as another creative person, what do you think? And I said, well, I'm not the portrait of creative success right now, even though I'm still plugging away at it, my own Charlie Brown way. No, seriously. Her main concern had to do more so with her mother, because her mother said, you should keep the job you have, because you get that paycheck every week, and you have your benefits. And I know that's what parents want, because parents want security for their kids. I get that, and I'm not a parent, so I can't speak to feeling that for somebody. But I know the feeling of job dissatisfaction, and I know the feeling that everybody's familiar with. We've all had lousy jobs that we don't like, where the alarm goes off, and you're like, oh, I got to do this again. Or what's well known as the Sunday night blues, where you think, I do not want to have to go to work tomorrow. I can't believe I need to go back to that job, and the next 5 days are going to be spent working at this job. I wish I could get out. But her thoughts were, I really want to do this. I'm not going to get benefits immediately, which there are a lot of jobs. That seems to be almost the norm right now, where you work for X amount of time and then you get benefits. So she said, the pay is better. So there's that. It's in the field she wants to work in. So there's that too. And she'll get benefits after X amount of time passes. But her mother's concerned about, why give up the security you have to go out for something different? You know, when you have pay and you have benefits now, and you should just stick with that. Oh, this is a complicated thing, because as much as, again, we had the conversation last night, I get the logical sense where it's like, you have this, why would you give that up for the unknown? But it's also the devil you know and the devil you don't, where you think, it might be different this time, and hopefully that this job is better. Hopefully it's everything she wants it to be. But my thing is, there are people who are working fry bins at fast food joints who get a paycheck and get medical benefits. That doesn't mean they're supposed to hang around there. That doesn't mean if they have an opportunity to do something else, particularly something that they want to do and earn more money doing than working on that fry bin, then why not go for it? I mean, you have to. It's like, I can't remember who the quote's from, but you can't steal second base with your foot on first. There's risk involved in everything. And if you're going after some kind of creative pursuit, everything feeds everything else. I can say that from my experience. I may not be a working musician, and I've never paid my rent by playing music, but that experience has still informed my creativity, has still given me another set of skills that I bring into all the other things that I do, even though using other people's music to open the show, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I really feel like, especially when it comes to creative pursuits, there isn't certainty. And if you're fighting against creativity versus logic, where you want to do something creative, but you're doing what people think you should do, as far as having a secure job and you have this, why would you give it up to go into something else? But what are you really giving up? Especially if you can do better ultimately with this other thing. I don't think there's anything as being safe anymore. There's no such thing, and there hasn't been for a while. It's been pretty plain to the world at large, where you don't start a job after college and work that job until you're 65 and then retire, and that's it. You have one job for 40 years, and then you retire from it, and then you sit home and watch The Price is Right on days you're not playing golf or tending to your garden or whatever it is retired people do. You know, you're going to have a lot of different careers. There are going to be a lot of different things you'll be doing in your life. And if you can at least be happy about what you're going to do or excited to dive into the work, even if it doesn't pay off, you still got some experience. You still took something away from it, whether it's jobs that didn't work out, relationships that didn't work out, friendships that didn't work out, you know, whatever it is. You still take something away from your experience. So I say take the risk. Don't be stupid about it. Don't just up and quit your job with nothing lined up and expecting the state's going to pay for you to kind of keep yourself afloat. Or don't sit around and do nothing. I mean, look, when I was unemployed a couple of years ago, I made a deal with myself that even though I left my job, well, it wasn't voluntarily, but after the experience of getting fired for the first time in my life at age 30, I said, you know what? I'm going to claim unemployment for right now, but I am going to come out of this period where I'm using unemployment to keep myself afloat better off than I was when I went into it. I said, I'm done with retail and I'm not going to go back to just working in another store because then there's no progress. Then I'm just kind of bouncing from one mediocre job and mediocre paycheck to the next. I need to do something that's creatively fulfilling, or at least get into a field that I'm more adept at, or where I can put my skills to work. Granted, that was back in New Jersey. I'm in California now, and I'm sitting here talking to you and doing this show every week, but it still counts for something to go for it. I knew that I was facing certain disappointment when it came to sticking with the jobs I was working in New Jersey, and I said, at least I can go out to where creative stuff is happening and be around it and work even on the outskirts of it. I can still work around it and get to know it, and it'll better inform what it is I do on my own, even including this show. So I say go for it. You can be smart about it. You can, there has to be risk involved in anything that has any kind of payoff. So I say if you're going out, don't even hesitate to look for jobs, by the way, or apply for jobs. A lot of people are just like, I'm not even going to look. And they're just content to stay with what they're doing. If you're just content, then, you know, my fear has always been, am I going to wake up one day when I'm middle-aged and say, where the hell did the time go? Or what did I do with myself? And as I'm, you know, now 34, I think at least I've spent the last few years going for it and doing stuff I enjoy. I've done podcasts with my friends for the last 5+ years. And I've done a bunch of sketch video stuff. And I've written a bunch of things. And I've written blogs. I wrote 100 blogs in a row once a week, every Monday for years at theonlypodcast.com. And, you know, there's been a lot of good stuff to show for me following my muse and actually taking a risk and going for it. And also doing things outside of my day job. Just because you have a day job doesn't mean you can't pursue your interests and your passions outside of it. A lot of people say, hey, I work. Hey, I have a job. I don't have time for whatever. Well, then has anybody have time to raise kids or be in a relationship? It's not as if because you work 40 hours a week, 45, maybe 50, if you work a salary job. It's not as if I can't get anything else done, because how is it people go from having a full-time job, being single, to being in a relationship, to being married, to then having kids and also having a full-time job? Then nothing would get done if you couldn't do that. You can do it. Don't sell yourself short. Speaking of short, this show has only been slightly short, as I can now see by the time as it's been ticking away. But alas, with everything I've had to say, I hope you check out the Def Leppard and Whitesnake albums. I hope you go see Spectre and the Peanuts movie. All those things are awesome. Those are all my recommendations for this week. And beware the options when it comes to replacing the flapper on your toilet. There are a lot of options. And if you don't know anything about plumbing, I'm going to say go with your instinct, or get the model just above the basic one, because that's what I did. So I'll feel less stupid. And hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo. You can follow me on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. Please follow the show on social media at Cape Pod. Subscribe to the show on your preferred podcasting platform and like the show on Facebook. All that stuff counts. Please visit our sponsors. I highly, highly, highly recommend all of them. Amazon Prime's a good deal, especially with the holidays coming. And if you're already doing your shopping through Amazon, please use our link and help support the show. And that is it. Lots of great guests coming up the next couple weeks, I promise. You guys are going to be excited and you're going to enjoy it because a lot of favorites coming back in, some old friends coming back, and some new friends as well. So for now, until next week, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.